Hello, and welcome to the Make Money Mediating Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Guthrie, and I'm an attorney, mediator, trainer, keynote speaker, author, podcaster, social media influencer, technology junkie, consultant, and coach. And although I know that sounds like a lot, but what it really means to me is that I've found a way to make a living doing what I love and doing it in a way that lets me help others. So in this podcast, I want to share some tips and insights into helping you create the career that lights you up and pays your bills, whether that's as a mediator, attorney, collaborative professional, or really anything that you are passionate about. So I'll be chatting with some of the most successful and influential experts in all areas associated with building your practice, and I'll share my own thoughts and the lessons I've learned along the way. So come along on the journey with us, and soon you'll have a practice that will let you make money mediating too. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Make Money Mediating Podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host, and I'm so glad to be back with you all today with this podcast that is dedicated to supporting dispute resolution entrepreneurs. Today, I want to dive into what I think is a fascinating topic, and it's relatively new to me. It was never something that was taught to me in law school. I don't think anyone ever mentioned the concept of emotional intelligence to me, certainly not in law school, although I certainly think emotional intelligence can help us as lawyers, but it's crucial for anyone in the mediation or dispute resolution fields. So we're going to talk about how EI, emotional intelligence or EQ, impacts mediation outcomes and how we as dispute resolution professionals can actually develop these skills to enhance our practice. Because that's what I'm always talking about is how to help you build and grow your practice. But before I dive into raising your EQ, everyone, I want to pause for a minute to give a couple of shout outs because a few listeners in just the past couple of days have taken the time to leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. And I just want you all to know, and them especially, to know it truly honestly means the world to me when someone takes the time to let me know that they find the information in these episodes that I share to be helpful to them. You know, all this show is me flipping on this microphone and sharing what I wish someone had told me before I had to go learn it the hard way. So hearing that others are finding that these episodes support them in their practice, thank you, thank you. It really means a lot to me. So, two shout outs. One to Kim B. I know who you are. Thank you so much. Kim said, fantastic information. This podcast is full of information. Although I've had my dispute resolution practice for over a decade, I learned something valuable that I will be implementing in every episode. Beyond the learning, listening to Susan's journey brings me so much comfort as I've made the same mistakes. Love that. Also grateful to have finally gotten a coach. It is indeed transformational. Truly, if you listen to this, it will save you a lot of time. You'll learn what works. Besides sharing her vast knowledge, I think Susan raises the bar for all of us to be more generous, connected practitioners. Thank you, Susan, for all you do. And thank you, Kim. I truly always encourage us all to support each other. As we all do better, so does our profession, which again, just ends up helping us all do better. And then I also want to say thank you to CAP Pagan. Susan is leading the way for lawyers and mediators to think about their businesses in a different way. She is sharing everything she has learned to build up the industry to benefit not only the business owners, but the clients. That is exactly why I'm doing it. And I just want, again, to say thank you to you all. I think it's important that we do support each other. So today, I would just task everyone out there, as if you get an opportunity to support a colleague today in even some tiny little way, go like one of their posts on LinkedIn or drop a comment or in a phone call or email, say something positive to them about something that they did. Try to find something you can do to support a colleague today and let me know about it. Send it to me in a DM on LinkedIn. Send me an email, susan@susaneguthrie.com. This is the type of thing that I really hope to encourage because that's what we're all here for. So Enough of that. Not that it's not a valuable and worthwhile thing to do, but I do want to dive into emotional intelligence, EQ, because honestly, lately I have been finding, I don't know about all of you, but although the dispute resolution world is full of generous and helpful and deeply thoughtful colleagues, I am also lately finding people to be very frustrated, very caught up in the difficulties of the practice, and unable to really dive into the realm of emotional intelligence, both not only in the mediation room, but in their practice and in their lives. So I thought a little refresher, because I know many of us have attended programs or heard about emotional intelligence, but I thought a little refresher and a little dive into how we can increase our emotional intelligence and why that's important to have a successful business would be helpful. So let's just start with understanding what emotional intelligence is. I'm going to define it as the ability to understand, use, and manage our own emotions in positive ways to relieve stress, communicate effectively, empathize with others, overcome challenges, and diffuse conflict. Right? So right there, maybe there are some things that are a little not what you were thinking. I always thought emotional intelligence was understanding other people's emotions. This is about understanding, using, and managing our own emotions in positive ways to help others and ourselves. So that's the first very important misnomer for many people that I want to correct. This is all about understanding yourself and working with your own emotions. And it has four key components, emotional intelligence. The four key components are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. And each one of those things directly impacts how we operate as a neutral in the mediation or in the dispute resolution process. So a few statistics just to highlight on this, and this is what I found super helpful to me, is that research has shown that emotional intelligence is a significant predictor of success in conflict resolution. So the more emotionally intelligent the mediator, the more likely that there will be success in conflict resolution. In fact, a study found that mediators with high levels of EQ or EI, I'll use that interchangeably throughout this episode, were 75% more effective in achieving lasting agreements compared to those with lower levels of EQ. And so this underscores the critical role that emotional intelligence plays in our field. And that's why I am talking about it. Some of you are like, well, these are those soft skills, Susan. You know, that's not the type of mediation I do. This is all types of mediation, whether you are full on directive or you are way over to the other side in transformational or somewhere in between, or use them all depending on what the situation calls for. Your emotional intelligence as the mediator is a critical factor in success for your parties. So what can we do to understand the impact on those mediation outcomes? Here's why it has such a significant impact, because emotional intelligence directly impacts several key areas of mediation. And they are the key areas that make mediation what mediation is. I think you're going to immediately recognize them when I talk about them. First one, drum roll please, building trust. Emotional intelligence helps mediators create that safe environment where parties feel understood and valued. And we know that that is essential for open communication in the mediation process, and that that open communication is what leads to resolutions. Right? Emotional intelligence on the part of the mediator is a direct correlation to our building trust among the parties and the participants. Navigating emotions. Does anyone ever have to navigate any emotions in the mediation room? Pretty sure that that's all we do in the mediation room sometimes, or at least it seems like it. And a mediator with high emotional intelligence can recognize and manage their own emotions and also identify and respond to the emotions of the parties involved. And that helps us to prevent escalation. And we know that escalation is one of the things that will lead people to that point where, right, they push back their chair, stand up from the table, and storm out of the room. But when we have higher levels of emotional intelligence, we are much more able to navigate those emotions. And finally, EI has a direct impact on enhancing communication. Yes, obviously, right? By understanding emotional cues, a mediator can facilitate more effective communication between the parties, and that leads to better understanding and resolutions. We know that enhancing the communication, both our communication with the parties and the communication between the players in the mediation, is integral to a positive outcome. So all three ways, building trust, helping us to navigate emotions, and enhancing communication, all three of those extremely important factors in mediation success are all tied to higher levels of emotional intelligence. There's a gentleman, Daniel Goleman. He's a leading expert on emotional intelligence. He once said, "Emotional intelligence does not mean merely being nice." Right? It's not just about smiling and being nice. At strategic moments, it may demand not being nice, in fact, but rather, for example, bluntly confronting someone with an uncomfortable but consequential truth they've been avoiding. So although I'm talking about these soft skills, building trust, navigating emotions, enhancing communication, I am not talking about creating that nice mediator role. This is really about effectively recognizing and working with both your emotions and the emotions of the parties in the room. And that is messy at times. And that's one of the, at times, very often. And that's why having a high level of emotional intelligence is so important. So how do we develop more emotional intelligence, especially in a mediation practice? And I'm going to say at the start, this is an ongoing process, but something to give us all hope. And that is that there is emotional intelligence that I've been talking about here, right? And then there's our EQ, and then there's our IQ. People get the two confused all the time. IQ is our intelligence quotient. And what we need to know about our intelligence quotient, IQ, is that that's kind of set. We're born with it. We're born with an IQ level, and there's not really much that can be done to raise it, lower it, other than external factors like accidents, brain damage, which tend to lower an IQ. But in general, your IQ is something that you are born with. Your EQ, or emotional intelligence, is something that we can increase, and that is a very critical factor. I always want people to be well aware of that, because we can do things that are going to help us increase that emotional intelligence. And one of those things is, I will say, doing mediations, because I think when you deeply involve yourself in the mediation process, you start to see that there is a role for learning about the management of both your own emotions and the participants' emotions, and how to negotiate amongst all those emotions becomes a part of actually enhancing your emotional intelligence. But there are additional ways where we can take positive action to increase our emotional intelligence in the mediation practice. One of the tips and strategies, or a few of the tips and strategies to share with you for this ongoing process, a few things you might try are practicing mindfulness, right? Regular mindfulness practice can enhance your self-awareness and your self-regulation, both key components of emotional intelligence. An additional strategy, something to practice, is to engage in active listening. This is something that we are trained to do as mediators, aren't always very good at, or takes practice, as we know, but the more that we do it, the better we actually get at it. And I find that when I try to incorporate it into my daily life, not just my mediation practice, I get better and better at it. I've certainly gotten better at it over the years as it's been a part of my practice. But what is active listening for those who are perhaps not immersed in the mediation world? It involves fully concentrating, understanding, responding, and then remembering what's being said. It's actually a lot of work. And it's a powerful tool for building empathy, but it's all based upon that concept of, we've all heard the phrase listening to respond, where you can tell you're saying something to someone and you can just see their mind actively working, and they're actually at some point in what you're saying, they're just waiting for you to be finished because they've already decided what they're going to respond and they've actually stopped listening. Active listening is the opposite of that. Active listening is actually listening to what someone says, taking it in, and then responding in a way that is appropriate to what was said, and then remembering that as you go forward. I actually find that in my other podcast, in the Divorce and Beyond podcast, where I have a guest every single time on the episodes, that active listening has helped me build much more successful episodes, because I used to, in the early days of doing podcasting, I would come up with a script with very set questions that I knew we were going to walk through. And I would ask the question, get the answer from the person, ask the next question, and so on. And what I have found is a much more successful episode is one that is a conversation. And that conversation involves me listening to what my guest says and asking them the next right question, not the next question on a script. So engaging in active listening, being curious, moving forward into that conversation is a very powerful tool, not only for building empathy, but for increasing your emotional intelligence. Another thing is to get feedback. I have talked about getting feedback from your participants in your mediation to find out what you might do in your process better. But have you ever considered getting feedback from your peers, your mentors, or coaches as to your emotional intelligence strengths and areas for improvement? And this means that you will engage in ongoing training or ongoing mentorship or ongoing observation and feedback. But it can be invaluable when you have someone specifically focusing on your emotional intelligence. People who are watching and listening are often much better in a place to follow along and see what we're doing well and where we can do better. One that is very difficult for many of us, but we run into constantly in mediations, which are high emotion hotbeds, right, is emotional regulation techniques. So learning and practicing techniques to manage your emotions in those high stress situations so that you're able to remain calm and clear-headed. I know I have spoken many times with Bill Eddy, the master of high conflict mediation and high conflict communication. So dealing with people who are exhibiting high conflict behaviors. And Bill always points out, this raises our emotional level when we are in a room. Just think about how you feel when you're in a room, whether it's two people screaming at each other or a person who's screaming at you, whether they're screaming at you wrongfully, correctly, out of fear, out of anger, whatever it might be. It's almost impossible as a human being not to have emotional reactions to that. But when you know that that's happening, do you have emotional regulation techniques to help you remain calm and clear-headed? And it can be as simple as taking a break, taking some deep breaths, focusing on the words and taking notes rather than the emotion of what's being said. There's a lot of different ways that you can work on this, but just the awareness of it and knowing that you have an emotional regulation technique. I have one mediator who just kind of pinches the space between their forefinger and their thumb, that kind of fatty area in your hand, but it's actually a pressure point that's supposed to be stress relieving. And so when they feel like they are in a high stress mediation session, they will actually squeeze on that area. And in their mind or in their belief, whether you believe it or not, they believe that this helps regulate their emotional content, regulate their stress. I've done it. I have to tell you, give it a shot, folks. It can't hurt and it might help. So those types of techniques are actually very important for you to know, quick in the moment things that you can go to. And finally, and I never stop talking about this, but I'll throw it in here, continual learning. If you roll your eyes when you go to the next conference, when someone says we're going to be talking about emotional intelligence and or EQ one more time, don't. Go. Go and learn some more. Go and share what you found that works for you. These are very important workshops, seminars, courses. You can always learn something. You may have learned something in this episode. I want you to continue to share anything you learned here. Go and share it out there in the world and always be open to learning more about emotional intelligence, EQ. There's a lot of great books as well out there. All right, so here's the bonus section on all this, and this is because you're dealing with me, right? There's no way that I could go and talk about this topic without talking to you all about how you can leverage artificial intelligence to work on your emotional intelligence. Yes, our friend ChatGPT can be our partner in exploring ways to enhance our emotional intelligence. So it's worth considering the role of these advanced technologies in our development journey. They give us an easily available tool, available at any time, day or night, whether people are tired, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep. It helps with its sophisticated understanding of human emotions and responses. It can be a powerful tool for mediators looking to boost their EQ. And here's a few different ways you might work with it. You can do role-playing scenarios with it. I have talked about it in the training capacity, how to do role plays, but you can do role plays with ChatGPT to simulate mediation scenarios where you can practice identifying and managing emotions. And again, both your own and those of the parties involved. So a virtual role play helps you prepare for your real life mediations by enhancing your skills in identifying emotions and managing them. And so you would want to do a prompt that tells ChatGPT that you want to do a role play for a mediation. Tell it what kind of mediation you do and say, I want to specifically work on developing my emotional intelligence skills. So please, you know, I have me identify and manage emotions. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you, ChatGPT, to give me feedback on how I did in that role play. And feedback is another way that you can use ChatGPT. So if you had a mediation or you're worried about a situation or you're thinking about something that might happen or does happen often in your mediations, you can submit that communication sample. You can just draft up a sample scenario and conversation into ChatGPT. You have a client who's very conflictual with you. They say to you, you never listen to me. You always side with them. This is always how it goes. I don't know why I'm even working with you, mediator. And so then you would type in what your usual response might that to be and ask ChatGPT to help you refine your language to be more emotionally intelligent and ask it for feedback on your tone, on your empathy, on your clarity. Ask it what you did well in your answer, but what you might do better. So this helps you to ensure that if you're running into typical situations, as we often do in mediations, that you're expressing yourself in ways that foster understanding and connection with your parties rather than perhaps responding in the moment. You can also learn emotional intelligence strategies. Third way you can work with ChatGPT. You can ask Chat for advice on improving specific aspects of your emotional intelligence, things like your empathy, your self-regulation, or your social skills. You can say, can you give me some strategies for working on my empathy in mediation setting or my self-regulation? Create an exercise that I can do with you. This is your prompt. and help me to, you know, further develop my skills for self-regulation of emotions. You can ask it to help you with stress management techniques. Remember in the last section, I was talking about emotional regulation techniques, and I talked about squeezing that fatty place on your hand. Well, if that one doesn't work for you or you can't think of any others, you know who can? ChatGPT. You can ask it for more help. And you can use it to enhance your own self-awareness. Here's number 5, right? The 5th way you can use ChatGPT. You can engage in reflective practices with ChatGPT by journaling your thoughts and emotions related to mediation experiences. Of course, you will never share any confidential or client identification information, but you can talk in a general way about what has happened, and you can ask ChatGPT to help you analyze your reflections, offering insights that might help you to understand your emotional patterns and triggers better. So there's a whole slew of ways that you can just open up ChatGPT and use it for short or longer exercises at any time to help you raise your emotional intelligence levels. And it's not a one time and done thing. Emotional intelligence grows at an ongoing pace, but the more time you put into it, the better you will get at it. And if it's for practice, why not practice with the, air quotes here, robot, then practice on your clients. So by integrating ChatGPT into your professional development toolkit, you can leverage that power of AI to enhance your emotional intelligence in innovative and effective ways without practicing on your clients. And this will not only benefit your mediation practice, but it also contributes, hey, to our personal growth and the quality of our interactions outside of work. I want to go back to real-world applications of emotional intelligence, because in many ways, emotional intelligence has truly transformed mediation practices. And honestly, that's good practice. That's good business. The better you are as a mediator, the better you are going to be at having a successful mediation practice. So I know for many practitioners, EQ, emotional intelligence, sounds like something woo-woo or out there or something that California practitioners talk about only, right? No, this is something that is really, really goes to the heart of what we do in dispute resolution. And things like building trust, navigating emotions in the mediation room, enhancing communication, both our own and that of our clients, that's at the core, as I said earlier in this episode, of a successful mediation. And successful mediations lead to a successful mediation practice, so you can make money mediating or have the successful practice of your dreams, whatever that might be. But being good, being the best at doing what we do, is something that we are all always striving to do if we want to be successful. So emotional intelligence is not just nice to have skill in mediation. It's a must have. The ability to understand and manage emotions can significantly impact the success of your mediation outcomes, and continually developing our emotional intelligence will enhance our effectiveness, leading to more meaningful and lasting resolutions. And I encourage you to reflect on your own emotional intelligence. Consider incorporating emotional intelligence development into your regular professional development activities. We all spend time and put effort into building our hard skills. I talk to people all the time about Calendly and technologies that can help them build their practice, but our soft skills are just as important, and they are integral to having that successful practice. So remember, the journey to high emotional intelligence is a continuous one, but it's a journey well worth taking. So to make life easier for you all, to give you a kickstart, I went on ChatGPT and I created some exercises that you can do with ChatGPT. So I'm going to have a link in the show notes and you can just go download these exercises. They're going to get you started working with chat or whatever, if you want to use Google's Gemini or whatever platform you are most comfortable with. I happen to use mostly ChatGPT, but it'll get you started right now, if you want to, working on your emotional intelligence. So I hope that you found today's episode helpful. If you did, folks, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. As you can tell from the beginning of the episode, it means the world to me, and it really helps other professionals find this podcast, which is the most important part, because my goal is to make sure that we all can have a successful dispute resolution practice. Thanks for listening in on this episode of the Make Money Mediating Podcast. I hope you got some great insights and tips on creating your dream practice. Join us every week on Thursdays for a new episode, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. And if you're enjoying the podcast, here's a shameless ask. Please consider giving it a 5-star rating and tell us in a review what you find most helpful. It's honestly the best way for others to find the show so that they can make money mediating too. I'll see you next week.